Welcome into DC On Screen, a podcast about the DC Universe properties being brought to film and television. To be clear, this is a spoiler-filled show. If it's been released, it's fair to talk about. I'm your host, David C. Robertson, and this is my co-host, Jason.
Hello.
All right, so this is our news episode of the week, and we've got a whole lot of news. I didn't think we would. I was actually surprised. Because it actually looked kind of smallish.
I know, and it was looking very bleak for the news segment.
And then I was doing the research for it, and I went, oh my lord, that's kind of a lot.
Everything popped off.
I know, it was kind of nice.
All right, big piece of DC animated news. Mark Hamill has officially signed on to be the Joker in Batman the Killing Joke, the animated version of the classic Alan Moore comic. Mm-hmm. This is the comic where the Joker shoots and paralyzes Barbara Gordon. Mm-hmm. And some
changing the
argues,
course of that character for a very long time.
Right. And some say sexually assault her.
I still believe it.
Oh, yeah. I definitely believe that. Believe
it's
she's
brutal.
She is,
I mean,
she
is
naked.
Truly brutal.
Because he captures Commissioner Gordon and puts him through a fair amount of torture. Mm-hmm. Puts him on a roller coaster in an old abandoned theme park and projects giant naked pictures of wounded and molested Barbara Gordon all over the place to drive Gordon nuts. Mark this Hamill has said that he would come out of retirement for that role.
Can't blame him.
And, well, I mean, obviously, I think all the fans wanted Mark to come back and do that.
Most of us will take Mark Hamill. I think he would have done a great job.
Yeah, but we want Mark. We want Mark to do it. He's earned his stripe, man. He deserves to do
it's
the classic Alan Moore Killing Joke tale.
Yeah, he's wanted to do it for forever. It's the one we've been clamoring to hear him do since, you know, since our parents were let us read the damn thing.
Mm-hmm.
This is a long time coming.
Now, I don't know if it's true, but I've heard that he already has all the dialogue in the can, that they've actually already recorded him for the movie.
Were they just recording him in the shower? Because I'm sure he's been just reciting pages of The Killing Joke for years. That memory is treacherous speech, for instance. I'm sure he could do that off top of his head right now.
Probably. But to complement that news, Kevin Conroy has come out saying that he really hopes they let him be Batman again for The Killing Joke.
Okay, see, that's perfect. And they've got to, right? Andrew Romano is going to go storm through somebody's damned office door.
They let him play Batman in the Assault on Arkham Asylum.
Yeah.
Which, damn fine movie, by the way. Go check that out.
Actually, it's great.
Yeah. A lot of fun. It's a Suicide Squad movie. But, yeah, Conroy comes back as Batman in that. And if they don't let him come back for Killing Joke, which I can't imagine they wouldn't, because they know that, like, Hamill and Conroy, those are our boys.
Yeah.
Like, as far as fans go, like,
they pair well. They know each other's work. They've been bouncing great off each other for years. It just makes more sense than anything else.
It really does. So over in Arrow, mm-hmm. Ollie's going to get a new suit in season 4. We know that. Mm-hmm. And he's going to be called Green Arrow.
Mm-hmm.
And it was suggested.
We edge ever closer to.
It was suggested that Ollie might be getting the fabled goatee before the end of the season.
Mm-hmm.
But Stephen Amell responded to that suggestion on Twitter. He said, 100% no.
Right.
Never. Our show could go 14 seasons and a goatee will never appear. Hope that clears things up forever.
Translation, fuck your couch. There is no way he's doing that goatee. Like, Amell is apparently a fashionable man. who has very strong feelings about goatees.
Right.
It happens.
Well, okay. He's already bordering on the lumbersexual side of things. I don't think like a full-on beard or just a normal goatee
mm-hmm.
would be bad. I mean, it doesn't have to be cut to look like he came rolling out of a Sherwood Forest Renaissance Fair thing, you know? I mean, he could
but...
Yeah, I mean, but he said a goatee. He's already kind of got one.
Well, if he doesn't shave, yeah.
Well, I mean, he's got like it's fuller there with the goatee, and then he's got like the slight beard going on. I don't know. I don't think it's a big enough situation for me. Mm-hmm. Actually, what I'd be more interested to see is I kind of want to see the cheerier Oliver anyway. So right. I wouldn't mind if he just shaved all together and did like classic, like Golden Age Green Arrow.
Mm, yeah.
Like Brave and the Bold Green Arrow.
Right.
I'd be okay with that too.
He kind of is currently, just by accident, that mixture of the Golden Age plus the hood of the later stuff. So we're right in the
yeah.
middle. We can,
yeah.
I can deal with that. Just, yeah. I'll live without the goatee.
Right?
I know. And it's amazing that the goatee takes up this much conversation time, but here we damn are.
All right. They also have some casting news that's come out. Ryan Robbins, who played on Falling Skies, has been cast in a recurring role for season 4. He will play Conklin, a sadistic and ruthless member of Shadow Spire, who will be an adversary for Oliver in the flashback sequences.
He's getting a lot of flashback villains so far.
I know. And I hate the flashback stuff.
I'm still on board with the flashback stuff. That's the reason I started watching. I'm
right.
still in.
The, you know,
they've got two
the
more years to play with it.
Like the first 2 years, the flashbacks were way more interesting than the normal storyline. And
now the normal storyline has, you know, gods running around.
And,
so, yeah, you'd kind of like
right.
to see that.
Right. And the flashback sequences have just gotten boring for me at this point. Like, they didn't know what they were doing their flashback sequences last year.
I actually, that it really did feel, I don't know, cobbled, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
It felt a little thrown together, I admit. And I think, I don't know how much of that must have been their fault, because I'm surprised they even got to keep Kitana.
Yeah.
Suicide Squad came and just took half of their cast, or at least half of their planned cast, so...
I mean, spoilers, she kills herself at the end, doesn't she?
I don't know. Maybe someone picks up the sword and...
Well, if she killed herself with her own sword, I guess... Yeah, I guess she's got her sword stuck around, floating around in that sword.
Right. That's her own little, like, Ghostbusters basement.
Mm-hmm.
Some dude from the EPA is going to come confiscate the sword.
Oh, yeah. All right, do you want to hop over to, there hasn't been any Flash news, so...
Well, there was one more thing on Arrow I meant to bring up with you earlier, but...
Oh, okay.
Two, actually. One, bizarre thing. Amell showing up at a WWE thing.
Oh, yeah, I saw that headline and skipped right the hell over.
Him and some fellow named Stardust apparently are going to throw down.
Okay.
As far as I knew, this has culminated in this Stardust guy like using the UFL this whatever tagline and ripping up an Arrow comic. I don't know. I didn't see it. Maybe he said you failed this comic, or probably you failed this goatee and ripped the comic up. But
wow.
I don't know. I don't know where that's going. I guess Amell's bored. I think he might. From like the way it was heating up, it was starting to look like he was going to go, you know, have a guest match somewhere. They do that kind of crap.
Yeah.
And it probably would boost the ratings.
If anyone out there is still laboring under the delusion that wrestling is real, now will be the time. Now would be the time for you to unburden yourself.
Right.
Oh my
God. Take
Lord.
This the day of Roddy Piper's death to take a real account of your views.
Oh,
I know.
I didn't even think about that.
I know, but again, here we are. Hey, look, in what is distinctly a less silly kind of turn, have you seen the stuff that Guggenheim's been saying about what he wants to do with Damien Dark?
No, actually, I haven't seen that.
Here, let me see.
I'm going to have to get on.
We wanted
I'm
someone.
I'm going to have to get on Google Alerts.
You.
I've got to get on Google Alerts. Apparently, I'm missing shit, man.
Well, we'll find him. The quote was this. Damien's a different kind of villain than we had on the show before. He's not as Centurion as Raze. He's not as Looney Tune as Slade. I'd never thought of Looney Tune when Slade, but okay, here we are.
Yeah, me either.
He's not as, and people will be surprised I use this word, but he's not as noble as Malcolm Merlyn. He's pure evil.
Oh.
He was right. I was surprised to use that word.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't use noble for... All right. Well, apparently,
well, it goes
one
on,
of the reasons
we
have
hold on. We wanted someone who was truly, truly malevolent. We've never done that on the show before. All of our big bads, although I always thought they were doing, you know, the wrong things for the right reason. This guy does the wrong thing for the wrong reason. And they're going to introduce him really early on in the series. It's not going to be the mid-season finale when we get him. It's just going to be, like, episode 2 or 3 right out of the gate, and... That's the guy you're up against.
Yeah.
Which will be a little more fun. He was also saying that it kind of, you know, the villain of the week thing, it's kind of infused it a little bit, he put it.
Oh.
I don't know. The way he's the way he's got it, the room felt out right now, it feels like everything's kind of, I got more energy, I suppose, because they have this just malevolent presence hanging about.
Yeah, I mean, that could be good.
It could be.
Could be terrible. who could say?
Such is the fate of
generally,
CW.
Generally, unless we're speaking of the Joker,
mm-hmm.
I am more interested in villains who are just truly misguided, who think that they're doing, you know, the right thing, and there must be casualties or whatever.
Right.
But, okay, let's do this.
Exactly like you said, though, he's kind of tried,
of course,
that approach several times. A lot of these people had at least their own reasons, you know, the everyone's the hero of their own tale kind of thing.
And based on Guggenheim's descriptions of the other villains, though,
mm-hmm.
I'm not sure what the hell that means.
I don't,
for Damian Dark, because
he really, it seems to be a rebel with absolutely no cause.
Right. As far as I'm concerned, a couple of those descriptions of the other villains were so off base.
Looney Tunes?
Yeah. Noble?
Well, really? The way I understood it is Centurion is Ra's, it was just an imperialistic notion with Ra's. It wasn't even personal. He was just going to kill off Star City to complete a training assessment to check mark a box. Looney Tunes is Slate. Like, yeah, I could see what he's saying as far as Slate is just, he's lost it, and he lost it a long time ago. Kind of about the time he got blown up, and then Shadow, and then all. He's gone. He's long gone. And then, as noble as Malcolm, I suppose, you know, he really was trying to fix the city.
Right.
It was the most outright exposed gentrification I've ever actually seen as an attempt, but he was trying.
Yeah. You know, I think I actually did read that, and I think I, like, woke up and had, like, a notification on my phone or something,
mm-hmm.
and wound up, like, going to that, and then, like, it was there kind of floating around, and I was like, what? And I couldn't make heads or tails of it, and promptly forgot it.
All right, so you were half asleep, you read Looney Tunes as Slade, and your eyes rolled in the back of your head, and you went back to sleep.
Yeah, I think that's what happened.
Right.
I do remember some of that, like, just a slight amount of that.
Noble is... We'll see. Same kind of, I don't know, whatever it was. Mel was saying he really does want to see that son come back, by the way.
He was saying what?
Mel's saying now that he really does want to see his son come back in the show.
Oh.
Like, it's top of mind for him.
Virtually impossible to keep track of all the crap Stephen Amell says online.
Is it?
Apparently he just hangs out all day on the internet saying crap.
Yeah, but he's always saying what we want to hear, so I don't mind. Like, I get the feeling he is probably the world's utmost authority on his own show, which is refreshing.
Yeah, it is nice. Now, there was a bit about the Weapons Clan. I wasn't going to mention it because it's not a true piece of news, yeah. In as much as they haven't announced it officially. But they have said that they've talked extensively about bringing the Weapons Clan into Arrow at some point. And they have said, you were telling me that they've said that they will?
Well, the exact quote was, eventually they'll end up on the show. Now, this was actually Guggenheim that said that. I was saying Kreisberg earlier. I was wrong.
Okay.
So, yeah, it was him saying, eventually they'll end up on the show. And we already have Komodo. We've already got Kitana. Well, I guess her sword. I don't know, whatever that ends up being.
Well, it brings up a lot of interesting questions because Shadow is dead. She was part of the Weapons Clan. Robert Queen, he's dead. He was the leader of the Weapons Clan.
Mm-hmm.
Kitana is in there. She's dead. So many of the characters who are in the Weapons Clan either don't look like their comic book counterparts, Vertigo, for instance, or they
Now, Komodo's about the most salvageable part of all of it at this point, isn't he?
Now, what I really like about that, though, is that in the comics, Oliver realizes that he was trained to use a bow and arrow from an early age,
right.
That he was meant to take over the Arrow Clan.
Right, right.
That was the interesting thing to me, but at the same time, it's sort of...
They took care of that in the show. We don't have to train him again. And they clearly established that he had no idea what he's doing with the bow when he was first handed it.
I know. So they can't really utilize that.
No, they can't use that. But what they can do, and hey, it'd be nice. The people that are still surviving, now the leader of the clans in the books end up kind of forming like a neo-outsiders.
Mm-hmm.
So if the remainder people kind of showed up as the outsiders one episode, that'd be great.
You know, and you know, they've got all those time travel elements over in The Flash. It wouldn't be out of hand for them to rewrite a little of the first season's history, bring back Simon Stagg.
No.
Maybe get a little Metamorpho in there.
That wouldn't be so bad.
A little bit of Outsiders. Metamorpho.
It all comes down to Metamorpho for you.
I don't know why I like Metamorpho so much.
Outsiders. First of all, you're like, oh, that terrible film. Like, no, the terrible comics. You're, oh, yeah, yeah. The one with Metamorpho. Yeah.
I like Metamorpho, and I'm not sure why.
I don't know.
I think it's like I like him just fine.
I don't know. He was gone. It wouldn't really hurt my feelings again.
I think it's like the tragic affair between Metamorpho and Simon Stagg's daughter. I think it's that one tiny piece of me that wants to like a Nicholas Sparks movie. I don't, because the rest of my brain takes over. Right. But it's that one tiny little part of me.
Fair enough. Fair enough. What else did we have? We've done an Arrow show so far.
Right.
But Arrow was on it. Thanks, Amel, for keeping us afloat.
You were talking to me earlier about the Gotham fans complaining. Do you want to talk about that?
Only to say that cool your tits.
What are they complaining about?
It's that there's been a lot of comment recently about, you know, there are too many villains in season two. It's not that many, and it's Gotham. We'll be fine. How do you think you're going to get a Batman if there's not a bunch of supervillains running around? Come on, people.
Well, Batman's like 10, so.
Well, yeah, and he needs to grow up knowing that there's some bastards out there.
What I do like about Gotham and the way they're bringing in supervillains before Batman is ever even Batman.
Yeah, I do like that.
Is it kind of puts aside the whole notion that Batman is the reason these guys started showing up in the first place.
Right. And I like that. I like that story and I like that motivation. I've seen it done well. It's not my favorite. I like it to be a little more straightforward than that. There were bad people, therefore Batman.
Yeah. But at the same time, I can see what they're saying, though. I mean,
yeah, of course.
Why do you want to? I mean, the show is crowded and clunky enough. Hell, we lost two cast members. We don't even know what happened to them. Almost no one even batted an eye when Montoya and Dude disappeared. What is his name? Alan? Detective Alan? Is that his name?
Alan Crispin.
Alan Crispin. That's his name.
Yeah.
Who
I only cared about because very, very briefly, that man is the Spectre.
Very, very briefly. I was much more interested in Corrigan over on Constantine.
But, of course.
Oh, yeah. By the way, I haven't updated anyone. I did watch Constantine. I did watch all of it.
I know. I'm so proud.
Just waiting on that Matt Ryan casting news over on Arrow. Come on, guys. Don't let me down.
Nudge, nudge.
Because Constantine was actually a pretty fantastic show for the most part.
I don't pull out I told you so very often. I'm going to do it now.
All right, go ahead. Get it over with.
I told you so.
Oh, it hurts.
I know. I'm sorry.
It hurts.
Every now and then you have to go through with it.
My ego has like a hole right now with like burning cinders on the side. A
little I told you so shaped hole.
Oh. Anyway, over to Supergirl real quick.
We're going to fly in and out of that as soon as possible.
News has dropped on a couple of things. Mm-hmm. First of all, they're adding the character of Lucy Lane, Lois Lane's sister.
Mm-hmm.
She's going to be in her late 20s to early 30s and has, as in the comics, dated Jimmy Olsen. There's no casting news yet, but they have cast Chris Browning of Sons of Anarchy as Ben Krull, otherwise known as Reactron.
Mm-hmm.
I'll say that name again.
Reactron.
A villain with nuclear-powered armor. And apparently they're going to be playing up this whole angle again, the same angle they did in the pilot, from what I understand, as a dude who is seeking revenge on Supergirl because of Superman.
Right.
Is this going to be like a theme in the show? Like some dude looking for Superman and he's like, you're just a little girl. I'm just... Oh, man.
Yeah, we can't do that every single episode. Like a few of them I get, but at some point just start telling your damn story. And it's going to be really hard to...
Mm-hmm.
Do a show if you keep referring to Superman over and over again. First of all, you don't need to. I know he's out there. Second of all, if you keep referring to him, eventually I'm going to expect to see him, and you're going to have a really hard time filming a scene with just a Superman silhouette.
Yeah.
Because they're not going to let you use him.
Yeah.
So,
all right.
Now, the one cool thing that might come out of it, though, is that Reactron at some point does kill Kara's parents. If they choose to use that in the show, we might be going somewhere.
That would be interesting, but he's showing up. It might be recurring, is what I'm saying. But if he's like he's showing up in like episode 3,
mm-hmm.
So
I'll be honest, though, I wouldn't be surprised if you know they just kind of throw in as many people as they can up front and see what sticks.
Well, I beg of them, let me get to know Kara's parents before you off them.
Yeah,
give me some emotional reason to care.
Weeden it up a little, people.
Good gosh!
At least show us a
all
puppy.
Right. No call for a puppy.
Always need for a puppy.
I know your affinity for puppies. There's no reason for a puppy here.
Yeah, honestly, the reason I didn't like the Jurassic Park franchise after a while, they killed that dog.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I can't don't forget it. Poor dog was just trying to protect his house. Brave
on that
guy.
Note, word has come down that Chris Pine, we knew that Chris Pine was going to be cast as Steve Trevor or Hal Jordan. Word has come down officially. He has chosen Steve Trevor for the Wonder Woman movie. There's not a whole lot to say about it. We don't know how they're exactly treating this character. It's honestly not the choice I thought they would make, or I should say he would make, but I suppose he does tend to pick some interesting roles in between the blockbusters, so I think he likes more of the indie roles to play with. I'm going to go ahead and guess that Chris Pine decided not to play Green Lantern in whatever form because it's probably going to take up a lot of his time. He's got the Star Trek franchise going on. He's got, you know, whatever indie movie he's wanting to do. And there's probably a good bit of fear because of the Ryan Reynolds situation from a few years ago. Also on the docket, DC put out an official trailer breakdown of Batman versus Superman, and they did confirm that Tao Okamoto is playing Mercy Graves. Big Batman versus Superman stuff is coming out. The September issue of Empire Magazine has dropped. They have a ton of new pictures, interviews. They have a blueprint for the entire DC Extended Universe, which is what they're calling it. We haven't mentioned that, I don't think, on the show.
No, it's come up a couple times. I think it's starting to kind of get accepted as nomenclature, so we might have to kind of get on board.
Yeah, the movie side of things, instead of the, you know, how Marvel has the Marvel Cinematic Universe, mm-hmm. and they're calling theirs DC Extended Universe, which almost just sounds like it messes with me because I'm a fanboy of a number of different things, and like the novelizations, the Star Trek and Star Wars novelizations are called the Extended Universe,
mm-hmm.
which means that it's not canon,
mm-hmm.
and well, for the most part, and so, you know.
So you just saw the word like extended DC, and kind of had like a tingle in your spine that you.
Yeah. I don't dig it. I don't like the name.
I wonder if they just wanted to have one more letter than Marvel.
Yeah. But yeah.
Which is kind of annoying because I liked the ring of there being an MCU and a DCU. Rolled up the tongue. But
oh well, I think they were probably wondering, like, DCCU. That's kind of. But whatever. The DC, they have a blueprint for the DC Extended Universe in there. Details about the Batmobile, like specs on the Batcave and the production design and all this stuff. And also, we learned some interesting things. I'm going to just roll through some of this. Zack Snyder is apparently, and his wife Deborah, and Charles Roven, they're all overseeing the entire DC Extended Universe. So apparently we do have we've been, you know, believing that we didn't have a Kevin Feige, and it turns out we do,
mm-hmm.
and a Zack Snyder. I'm not sure how I feel about that. I like Zack Snyder as a visualist. He's
don't want him to play God with your favorite people, though?
Don't want him to put on the God socks.
Hey, look, here's how I'm trying to focus on this. At least it is one person. At least it does have a head.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, it's three people, but it looks like Zach is the head.
That'll work.
Yeah.
But there's still, as long as it is going through one filter, it's got a fighting chance.
Yeah. Now, he also, Zach has a whiteboard in his office with the entire DCEU sketched out. So that, you know, at least it looks like he's trying to keep things continuity-based and connected.
I hope that's a big whiteboard.
I know.
I hope it's not a, like a tiny, you know, 3x4 whiteboard that entire 10 years of film fits on.
It's like one of those, cubicle desk whiteboards.
Right, right.
That you just kind of, he's just got like little amateur drawings of Batman and Wonder Woman and Superman on it.
And I, you know, I really would if I had this this whiteboard in my office. Just, I'm going to assume I have a big office because I'm him. And then I'm going to assume this is a big board because that's the way I want to visualize it. Mm-hmm. I would totally have drapes and curtains that came across the front of it that were, you know, it's like drawings of the Justice League up there protecting my drawings from other people. You would go over there and like pull the grandfather clock that he put near it, and the drapes would come apart.
And it's like the Bruce Timm Justice League.
Yes, of course it is. No, that's exactly what I was imagining. It honestly was complete with Manhunter.
All right, Wonder Woman begins filming this fall.
Uh huh.
And Justice League will begin filming in spring 2016. Pre-production for Justice League has already started. Ben Affleck apparently picked out his own Bruce Wayne hairstyle for the movie and his own Bruce Wayne hair because it is a wig he's wearing in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
See, Batman is like around 45 or 46. We already have heard that. But they're saying Batman has already met the Joker, Harley Quinn, and the Suicide Squad. He's the reason they're all in prison. Apparently, some of those fans were correct. Batman does carry a machine gun at one point in the movie.
Sometimes you need one,
I guess.
I mean, well,
and
if he pulls a machine gun to a party with Superman, for instance, well, okay, it's not like he has, you know, murderous intent. What's he gonna do, kill him?
I don't know. Maybe he's,
that can still be my old bad
magazine of kryptonite bullets.
I figure he's just Bruce got a magazine Wayne full of rubber bullets for a bunch of guards. I gotta imagine.
Bruce Wayne, and this is the thing I've suspected, Bruce Wayne no longer lives in Wayne Manor. He lives in a lake house. Wayne Manor has been abandoned. I don't know what the reasoning behind that would be.
I don't either, but that was something I'd seen popping up. And, you know, in the trailer they have that kind of big gothic building that's clearly mm-hmm. seen better days. And now it is kind of starting to look like, yeah, he doesn't live there anymore. Something happened, and whatever it is that happened, when he comes back to that Batcave, he's got such a kind of sentimental look on his face. And it does. It looks like it's been a long time since he's seen that room. It looks like he's off somewhere else, and whatever happens inspires him to actually go back into that manor and the, you know, attached cave.
Right.
And, you know, I don't know if he knows when he gets there. I don't know if it was part of the story of how the whole thing went down. I don't know exactly where it fits in, but at some point the Joker made it in.
Right. And maybe that's why he left. I don't know. That would
have just been one big thing. That's about the only reason I could ever have gotten behind for Batman taking some time off is losing a Robin. Like losing the partner you trained. That's actually something.
And even then, I think, like, no, man, he just doubled down on his efforts.
Even then, you really want him to double down. But that's the only time I've thought, okay, well, if that actually hurt too much to continue for a second, I wouldn't blame even Batman.
Yeah.
For some reason, girlfriend just is not enough.
Well, I mean, we're assuming that this is Jason Todd here. I mean, yeah, Jason Todd dies, double down. But if his favorite died, if Dick Grayson, if it is Dick Grayson, because we don't really know. If it is Dick Grayson, though, yeah, okay. I'll accept that over Rachel.
If it's Dick, you're going to also take some time off. It's going to take you two viewings of this movie if it ends up being Dick Grayson. Because the moment they say Dick Grayson's dead, you're going to walk out of the damn film.
I will.
And
I won't.
You'll spend like a couple hours in the parking lot crying, and then you'll come in and buy another ticket and hope to catch it around that point.
I'm trying to psych myself up for it right now because the moment they say, if they say Dick Grayson is dead
mm-hmm.
in this movie,
he's gone the way of Gordon, they'll say.
Which is bothersome enough for me. Like, one of the reasons we want to see these movies is because there are beloved characters. Now, I can understand maybe they said, okay, look at Nolan's trilogy. It was pretty much the Jim Gordon trilogy. There was too much Gordon in those movies. We need to distance ourselves. There was so much Jim Gordon.
He was handled wrongly, but there wasn't too much of him.
I'm not even sure he was handled wrongly. It was just,
well, you can't fall into a sewer with gunshot wounds and then still command a police force.
We'll get to that in a separate podcast, sir.
But he was just right in the second one.
Hey, you know what? I think they did all that shit to Gordon in Rises,
mm-hmm.
because in the first two movies, all he really did was just stand there and look confused and waited for Batman to do things.
So they put him in a bed to look confused.
Right.
Look, you get a gunshot wound, you end up in a bed, a sewer, you're getting sepsis. You have to have antibiotics. The amount of antibiotics they have to give you for that, you're tripping. You're basically the entire time.
You know, we wondered why... You know, he's laying in his bed, he's all doped up and whatnot, mm-hmm. and he says, send all the cops into the sewers. Terrible idea, but okay.
Send all the cops into the sewers to retrieve my spleen.
Right. We wonder
I think
why
it's still down
they
there
listened
somewhere.
To him.
Oh, and but I lost $40. Point, tell him to keep a lookout.
At this point, I'm looking at the other two movies and thinking, well, all Gordon's ever done is either stand around with a small child
mm-hmm.
and look confused, or he's said nonsensical things. Like, that's he's fair. Not the vigilante we want, but he's the vigilante we need, and blah, 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 or whatever it was.
Well, that turn of
phrase. Deserve,
yes.
Or something. It sounds like Gordon's just, you know, he had a stroke early in life.
Just one TBI at some point.
I'm not sure. Something happened to him, and they kind of just, okay, well, it kind of makes sense. It sounds really good.
Well, they used to call them Ringoisms, like A Hard Day's Night, mm-hmm. Tomorrow Never Knows. This is all just crap where Ringo was actually trying to say, he was actually trying to say a real phrase and ended up being whatever the hell came out of his mouth. And the rest of them laughed and made a song and millions of dollars.
Right.
And my life's so happy.
All right. Big news, though, as well. Turns out Clark Kent and Lois Lane, man, they live together. They're living in sin up there in Metropolis, man.
No.
Not my Boy Scout. Not my Boy Scout.
Oh, yeah, they are living together, which I guess makes sense. It just sounds like to me like Lois probably got Clark his job because I don't. In Man of Steel, we never saw him go to college or anything.
Oh no, so, she totally just pulled one for him. That's
yeah.
That's
like
it.
She gets him a job. She lets him stay. He just sounds like a bum now. Like the guy that like your mother's really angry at you for dating.
Yeah, from that angle,
like, why don't you dump him?
From that angle, she's brought a strange man home who she had to get a job for, and then the job he has, his boss is yelling at him. So she's having to cover for him at work. She's having to pay his bills. This is getting ridiculous, Superman. Step up. step up, Supes. Think saving the world's bringing home any bacon? That don't pay the rent, buddy.
Oh, man.
Having to give him pep talks in the middle of all of his stuff, too. It's ridiculous.
Now they've said that Wonder Woman's role in mm-hmm. Batman vs. Superman Dawn of Justice is key to shifting the story towards Justice League. I assumed that was going to be the case the second I heard she was going to be in it. I'm like, okay, the boys are fighting. She has to step in and be like, dude.
Yeah.
Don't make me turn this universe around.
He's just going to be mid-fight. She's going to walk up behind him and slap them both on the wrist.
I just want Wonder Woman to come in and just be like, y'all two are grown-ass men.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Oh, man.
See, I think it really will be a matter, though, of her literally, like, showing up to the fight, right in the middle of it and banging their two heads together. And when the little birdies stop flying around saying, what the hell do you think you're doing?
Right. Oh, man. So, in Zack Snyder, he admits that, well, I mean, it was his idea to put Batman in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And then he admits that when he told Christopher Nolan that he was going to reinterpret Batman, Christopher Nolan was, quote, taken aback.
He was surprised that anyone would try that early after what he had done.
Right?
The other alternative, what does he think? He put a cherry on the top of that? No one's ever going to touch it again? Who the hell do you think you are, man?
He thinks he's Christopher Nolan.
It's the bat. We will reinterpret this character to the end of time.
Now, Snyder does say he is fully supportive of him reinterpreting the bat. Not that it matters. It's a Warner Brothers character. Like Christopher Nolan I think he just believes that.
I'm just kind of confused by the betrayed initial response. Ah, Jacques Hugh, you know, what, why?
Yeah, and it fits perfectly. It fits perfectly with
Et tu, Snyder.
It fits perfectly with like a couple months ago where Christian Bale said that he heard that Ben Affleck was cast as Batman and he just sat in his living room for like half an hour staring into the abyss, like letting it sink in. It's over. Someone took my role. You said you didn't want it anymore.
He's been busy yelling at interns though since that ended. He's what?
It's like the kid that sells an action figure at a yard sale and then thinks I can't believe someone bought it.
Right,
but
right.
It's mine.
This is like why I've stopped returning video games and like trading them in for other games. Is I miss those games then. Now I want to play them. That response you have when you're a kid and you see your friend with your toy and you want to play it now, that never stops. That never stops.
It doesn't. It doesn't. And when, you know, people like us, when we become adults, we grab hold
whenever
of that.
Whenever that happens, by the way.
We're mature enough. Well, no. See, we're mature enough to know that we are immature, so we choose to become hoarders. So no one can ever... We're not going to touch it again, but we don't want anyone else to play with that toy.
Right. It's just over in a corner, and I've peed at the bottom of the corner. Just to make sure it's well marked.
Oh, so that's why you were over there lifting your leg to that $5 Ghostbusters game.
I did not just have an itch I needed scratching.
So it has been stated now. We had the question two or three weeks ago, I think. We were wondering if Batman has been retired for 20 years or if he was Batman for 20 years or if he's even been retired at all.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're not sure about that. Clearly, he's got a bat cave mm-hmm. in his lake house because all that stuff looks new and shiny.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the deal? They say, now, this is implying to me that he never stopped being Batman. They say he has been Batman for 20 years. All the history is there. This is Zack Snyder talking, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Was there a Robin at one time? Possibly. Well, dude, the trailer's been released.
What are you trying to do?
We're pretty sure that there's been a Robin at one time, you jackass.
Did you just build the costume in case you ever decided to take somebody on?
Right.
He started to take on many people and was like, nope, you weigh 180 pounds. That costume's made for 177. Sorry, buddy. Keep moving.
Right. The R stands for real Bruce.
Right. What's my
nickname
going to be?
Assume.
Anything that starts with an R. Honestly, I don't care. Robin? Oh, sounds great. Yeah.
We want to assume that Batman has reached this point in his life and career as a superhero, and Superman represents a sort of philosophical change. He is a paradigm shift for Batman. I've been fighting criminals all my life, trying to find justice, and now I am confronted with a concept that is transcendent to me. In the face of Superman, a man robbing a bank doesn't matter. He's having a crisis of conscience. Am I really just a vigilante who stalks the alleys of Gotham? It is rich stuff that he deals with. Ben does an amazing job.
That sounds really pretty fantastic.
It does.
It sounds great. And they're right, though. That happened in the comics at some point. I mean, when he first started, he was just taking on muggers. Oh, so was Superman.
My favorite pre-meeting reference is from the first episode. It's first or second episode, but it's the three-parter opening for Superman the Animated Series, where Clark's talking about wearing a costume. And his mom goes, like Ma Kent goes, I don't want people thinking you're like that nut in Gotham.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, Snyder also apparently left the impression that there won't be much of Aquaman in this film. He, in reference to that, he says, you will understand he exists. Well, I mean, I've understood he exists.
If I had to just kind of throw a guess out now and, you know, just see if it won, you know, 1 in 13,000 kind of odds, I think it might be one of those things where we don't see him until the end of the movie when they've already gone through everything and teamed up and it's kind of a shot by shot juxtaposition of like you just see a glimpse of Atlantis and you just see a glimpse of a really fast kid a few cities away. And
yeah,
I think it might be something like that.
Yeah.
Hell, it could just be the stinger. Hell.
Now, earlier this week, a bunch of photos were dropped in reference to Batman versus Superman. Actually, one of our fans, Christopher White, who we talked about last week,
good man,
gave the recommended reading list to. He sent us a link full of pictures. They have been dropped. They're from the Empire magazine. September issue, as was all of the information we just talked about. There's Batman in armor standing by the bat signal from a profile angle, and Superman standing in Wayne Manor, and Lex Luthor standing in LexCorp, which appears to be a basketball court.
Well, he's
very very trendy little snot.
He stays in shape.
Very, very trendy little snot. This Lex Luthor. Like, oh, we're going to have our board meeting at a basketball court. Yeah, and it's got LexCorp on the side and everything. And, like, we're just pitching ideas as, while we're pitching balls into a
Right. In some ways, this is like The Social Network, too.
Yeah. This is what happened to Zuckerberg.
Right. It would not have surprised me, though, if that kid ended up being Luthor. So, this works for me.
Yeah, there are a bunch of photos.
And yeah, you're right, though. The way they're describing that set, it keeps sounding like, what if the guy who ran Google ended up being Luther?
It is. Now, two big casting news bits pop down, and they're still not official. Warner Brothers is still not saying this is exactly what it is, but this is the Heroic Hollywood. Those cats are saying that this is the real deal, and they're usually right, guys. So, I mean, I'm just going to go ahead and say it. We'll update it if it's not true. But Jenna Malone is apparently playing Barbara Gordon. If the eventual goal is to get her into a Batgirl outfit,
works for me.
I'm on board. Because
have you seen the Hunger Games? For God's sake.
Yeah, Hunger Games, and I know everyone's gonna scoff when I say it, but Sucker Punch. She was bad. She was badass.
Not
in Sucker
the part
Punch.
Of that movie I didn't like.
Right, she was badass in Sucker Punch. Yeah. So, to me, Sucker Punch almost looks like it should have just been like a hastily scripted audition reel for Zack Snyder's future movies, and if that's what it ultimately winds up being, fine.
A $50 million demo tape. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, aside from 50, Michael Bay, who else would you want? Who else would, aside from maybe Michael Bay, who else would you accept having a $50 million audition reel? Like,
honestly, I want to say Dwayne Johnson.
Moving on. Scoot McNairy. Scoot McNairy. Oh, Scoot McNairy.
Oh, Scoot.
It is an appropriate name, apparently.
I'm almost sure that is in poor taste, sir.
I know.
Scoot McNairy. He'll be scooting on set in this new film.
Yeah, he was cast, and they don't want to let us know who he is, et cetera, probably because of all the bad press when the fans start bitching about what's about to take place.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like he's playing Jimmy Olsen. And, they did. They found some pictures of old Scoot with some green screen socks on,
mm-hmm.
up to his knees. And looks like old Superman's old pal, Jimmy Olsen. Well, he was hanging around during the, what are they calling it? The Black Zero event, the day that Zod and Superman destroyed half of the city.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like he lost his legs. Like Jimmy Olsen became an amputee.
Yeah, he didn't have his watch yet. Real shame that.
Oh, but here's what confuses me. If he's playing Jimmy Olsen, why are they letting another dude play Jimmy Olsen on Supergirl? Because generally, if the characters are going to be in a movie, Warner Brothers says, no, you can't use
character. They do allow it when it's a different enough take. Like, that's why Gotham's even still got legs right now.
I guess.
It's so, yeah, no, I felt bad when I was about to say it. I'm sorry. That was unintentional. It's such a different take, they don't care. I mean, Jimmy Olsen, a big old hunky dude, is pretty much not anything near what we're going to see in this film, apparently. By the way, the guy has a lot of Affleck ties. I think he might want screen time. It wouldn't surprise me if they ended up kind of getting some screen time together.
Yeah.
So it also wouldn't surprise me if he's one of the people that got maimed in a Wayne Industries building.
So yeah, apparently Jimmy Olsen will have to scoot because he's got McNary a leg to stand on.
Oh. Oh no. You know, though, my first thought, though, when I saw that Jimmy Olsen was cast was, and it really was, ha-ha, fuck you, Dave, you have your Jimmy.
Yeah.
Because this was a genuine problem you had with the, you know, the Man of Steel is why not just give me Jimmy? Why? Why do you have to recast a cousin?
Right, like, why do they have to make it Jenny Olsen? And then in the movie, they never call her Olsen. So, like, you scared me for no reason because you could easily throw in a Jimmy Olsen in there.
Right.
You can, and
she
then
could have
be
been
like,
Jenny
yeah,
Craig for all it mattered, and it would have been just funny.
Yeah. Yeah. And then they cut it out where you, like, did she never had a reason to be called Olsen.
No.
She was just the girl that works at the Daily Planet with the bald guy.
Right.
And, you know, they go through, you know what killed me, and I didn't mention it in the Man of Steel review, and I guess I'll mention it here for no other reason than I want to.
It's like never failed us before, go for it.
She and Perry and Baldy are running around the city, and they're like helping each other. They've seen some shit at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And Baldy helps her get out of that, like, how in the hell did that cage even happen? Like, that cage of metal and building. Anyway,
it's one of those bizarre things that could only ever happen in a movie, because it usually when you're piled under that much rubble, the rubble didn't bother to save a human-shaped space in the middle.
I know. But yeah, so then at the end of the movie, like, the dude, she's like, come on, Lois, he's got the tickets. He's like, when are you going to throw me a bone? And she's like, you should go back to trolling the intern pool. And then looks back at Jenny and goes, sorry. And then he's like, what do you say? And Jenny just completely is a complete dick to this bald dude who saved her life, who helped save her life. She just laughs and shakes her head like, no.
Obviously, saving someone's life doesn't make Office Place sexual harassment okay.
Well, yeah, naturally. And I'm not saying she should go on a date with him. I'm just saying, you know, why do you have to be such a jerk about it, Jenny? Let the guy down easy. He's clearly very sad and pathetic.
He's trying to use his little moment of fame and heroism to try to put his penis in things, which is it kind of does take the sting off the... Because you can imagine that guy running around the office just saying, hey, you know, I saved that girl's life. Want to have sex? And then that doesn't work. And going to another girl within earshot of that same conversation, hey, you know, I saved that girl's life. You want to have sex? How would you like to take a heroic penis?
He never seemed like that guy. He wasn't the Todd from Scrubs.
It's the hidden secret of Man of Steel, that little under-the-radar sexual harassment plot.
It wasn't even like the sexual harassment.
The Daily Planet.
It was like the way this dude played it, it was just obnoxious guy from the 50s who just wants to go somewhere with some woman. Like, he just, it's not in any way, like, sexualized or anything. He's just like, I got tickets to a ball game. I know how dames like them.
That poor guy.
Yeah, this is like a Willy Loman character,
now,
man.
Generally, really... though, and I gotta say, though, it is. It's a guy-girl kind of thing. Like, don't buy a girl tickets to a baseball game just as a shot. Look, I understand there are literally millions of women that love baseball. And not to rule that out, but there are more women that don't like baseball. Play your odds, dude.
Right. And, you know, I'm not a sports fan at all, but just on his face, I would say maybe not pick the most boring sport this side of golf.
No. You grab some Flaming Lips tickets and take a shot.
Yeah. Or, you know, for Lois, the thrill-seeking Lois, you know.
Good point. Yeah.
Tickets to watch a skyscraper burn, you know, the flaming skyscrapers. She's like, I already know how to skydive. How do you think I kept up with Superman and Man of Steel?
God, they must have like evacuation drills every single day at that building now since they've repoed.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Anyway, gosh, we have gone on for a while here.
It's way too long. There was not this much news. I don't know what just happened.
We had fun, and I hope that you did too, because that's it for this episode. Tomorrow we'll be dropping our spoiler-filled review of Justice League, Gods and Monsters. If you can pick up what we've been putting down, please go give us a 5-star rating and good reviews on iTunes and Stitcher. You can find us both of those places, as well as DCOnScreen.com. If you want a similar podcast about the Marvel Cinematic Universe, go check out our friends Matt Carroll and Jeff Randall on the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast, also on iTunes and Stitcher, and on MCUcast.com. Until tomorrow, put some DC on your screen. I know we will.